But so Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made, it comes in a hadith, many a hadith makes mention that on the day of Qiyamah, the people whom you have helped financially will intercede on behalf of the person who had helped them. Comes in one hadith, Fazail al-Sadaqat, Hazrat Shaykh Muhammad Ali has made mention, a person who used to be generous will be taken into the fire of Jahannam, and the poor people will see him, and they will intercede and said, Ya Allah, how is it possible? This person helped us, we are going to Jannat and he is going to Jahannam. Ya Allah, we intercede on his behalf that you take him out of this punishment and put him into Jannah. So charity is a means of protection from the fire of Jahannam. And another aspect, before we go to the next portion of our talk, is, you see, one of the beautiful aspects of charity is that we should give it at a time when we are also in need of wealth. One day, Nabi Islam, the Sahaba also used to ask amazing questions. He came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, Ayyu sadaqati a'azam? Which sadaqah is most rewarding and most great in the eyes of Allah? And look at the reply, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Anta saddaqa wa anta sahihun shahihun takshal faqr wa ta'amulul ghina. You give sadaqah when you also are desirous of wealth. You also fear poverty. You also fear poverty. If I give too much, some things, you know, might happen. And you also fear poverty. You also desirous of wealth. And that's the time when you give, it is more rewarding. Wala tumhil. Don't wait to such an extent. Now you are about to die. One leg is in the bucket, the other is on the banana peel. Then you say, Idha hatta idha balagatil hulqum, when your life comes to your neck. And you say, li fulan in kada, li fulan in kida. Give so much to this masjid. Give so much to this particular organization. The first one is far greater in reward. Give when you also desirous of wealth. You also fear poverty. Then instead of waiting till the last moments of your life, and then you want to give charity. So these are some of the aspects with regard to the benefits of nafil charity. Now coming back to another important aspect is with regard to the recipients of our charity. Now there are various, I think the first thing that we made mention about is zakat, and those recipients are made mention. I won't go into details. Anyone who wants to know, I can refer them, inshallah, to some good reading material on the recipients of zakat. Eight. Let me just sort of make mention. Inna sadaqatu lil fuqara wal masakin. Lil fuqara and masakin means those one who does not have anything, or another person who might have wealth but is not sufficient for his needs. Wal masakin. Inna sadaqatu lil fuqara wal masakin wal amilin. The amilin means the one who has been appointed by an Islamic authority. Now just keep this in mind that today, you know, everyone claims to be an authority, but sometimes, you know, authority is not something that you can just claim for yourself. It has to be earned. So, you know, many of the ulama say that this only refers to an Islamic government when it gives over and makes certain people in charge of receiving zakat. So, wal amilina alayha wal mu'allafati qulub. Mu'allafati qulub means those who are newly have embraced Islam or who are on the verge of embracing Islam. By perhaps giving them financial inducements, you might make them more steadfast upon their deen, or you might make them accept Islam or come into fold of Islam. According to Umar radiallahu anhu, used to say that this was on the days when Islam was weak. Now Islam is strength in numbers. This category is no more as applicable as it was in the earlier days of Islam. But many of the ulama say that if that situation ever comes, that is one of the permissible recipients of our zakat. Wal mu'allafati qulub wa fir riqab, those who want to free themselves from slavery. Once again, something that is not as widespread in the world today the way it was previously. If a person was in slavery and his master used to tell him that if you bring for me 2,000 or 5,000 dirhams or rands, you can be freed, then to help that person to come out of slavery. Because slavery is not something desired in Islam. So this is another evidence with regard to it. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَالْغَارِمِينَ, a person who is in debt. But again, in debt, we got to see, why was he in debt? Is he in debt because he had a necessity that he had to attend to? An emergency came upon him because of which he became overwhelmed and engulfed by debt? Or was it a debt that came out of pure greed? So a person has great amount of assets, he's got a half a million or 1 million rand worth of assets, but because he wants to now expend his business, so he takes a 2 million rand loan and he goes to a mufti and said, I got 1 million rand assets and I got 2 million rand debts. Is it permissible for me to take zakat money? You know, technically it might be, but morally it's not. So we got to keep that in mind. It must be for a genuine cause that a person